Hey, everybody. Good morning. Welcome back. And thanks for joining us for another discussion all about the golden era of professional wrestling. You know, it's often been said that pro wrestlers are just superheroes come to life, jumping from the pages of the comic book onto our television screen. And just like every superhero has a unique superpower that sets them apart from the others, so too do pro wrestlers. Their superpower is known as the finishing move. This one move that is unique to them, usually tied back to their character some way, somehow, that sets them apart from their opponent. And when they deploy this superpower of a move, it usually signals the end to a wrestling match. But just like superheroes, not all finishing moves are created equal. Some are fantastic, amazing. They capture your audience. They capture your imagination. Others, not so much. There's been hits and there's been misses, and we're going to talk about them all on this episode of 80s Wrestling the Podcast. We're covering the three most iconic finishing moves ever, plus an additional one that you feel is either over or underrated. My name is Jumpin' Jay, and as always, I sit across from wrestling's Willy Wonka, the man with the golden ticket, the Confather, Mr. Tommy Fierro. Tommy, what's going on, brother?
Hey, good morning, Jumpin' Jay. Good morning to everyone out there, and welcome to another edition of 80s Wrestling, the podcast. It's going to be a fun discussion today, and again, this is very subjective, right? So if you only could pick three of them, I am going to take a tally throughout today's episode and see what everyone is going with. And then narrow it down to three is real tough. So we're going to ask anyone that's online right now, only three. And I know that's tough because I was trying to do the same before the podcast started, and I couldn't do it. So I have to make a choice as well. Three is super, super tough. But we're going to talk all about it today, the hits and maybe some of the misses and maybe some of the very underrated ones. Today on 80s Wrestling, the podcast, I'll kick it off by talking about how moves meant way, 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 way much more back then than they do now. You see back then, you know, in the 80s, Jay, you know, you'd finish a match with a backbreaker or a lariat clothesline or you know, an elbow drop. And nowadays, you know, I know the dynamics of the industry have changed. I know that the work and how you put together a match is a lot different now than it was back in the 80s. And that's for a factor of different reasons. You know, one, the guys today are, for the most part, extremely more athletic than the guys from the 80s. And then also remember that the guys from the 80s, man, they were on the road literally over 300 days a year. Where nowadays it's a much calmer schedule compared to back then. So and there's a ton of different factors. And then obviously the main factor is, you know, the fans. And, you know, back then everything was, you know, magic, right? So, like, there was no internet. There was no dirt sheets. There was no way to find out what was going to happen before it happened. You'd have to sit there and watch Wrestling Challenge or Superstars of Wrestling or Saturday Night's Main Event or one of the big four pay-per-views back then to see what was going to happen. Nowadays, you know, everything is spoiled. Everything is, you know, instant gratification from wrestling fans. They don't want to wait on, you know, different, you know, angles and, you know, matches. It's a factor of different reasons what I'm trying to get to as compared to why moves today are way, 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 way. I mean, back then are way, way more meaningful and devastating to today because today it's everything plus the kitchen sink and two kitchen sinks out in the garage, right? So I think that's a big difference about finishing holds. So I think, for me anyway, probably the majority of the finishing moves, I will probably say, will be from the 80s, where something as simple as a pile driver would put you out of commission, and it should put you out of commission for the match, or something as simple as a drop kick off the top rope, like Hook will be worded and followed up with the, you know, the Ghetto Blaster and not Ghetto Blaster, the movie did with the suplex. And there's so many different moves back then that today you wouldn't even they would kick out at one. So it's an interesting conversation.
It is, and you know, you raise a good point, because back in the day, before the curtain was pulled all the way back on the industry, as young fans, we believed that these moves were legit, that they were the real deal, and some of them looked absolutely devastating, and you bought into it, and you believed that would end a match, that would knock a guy out, it would be a fight would end with that move. And yet, even as young fans, not knowing everything about the business, there were some moves that I would scratch my head and go, how, why did he not kick out of that? That didn't look that bad. There must be something that I didn't realize happened, because that just didn't look as good as some of the other finishing moves. And so it's definitely true that moves meant more back then. I don't want to pull the curtain back much further than it's already been pulled. But Tommy, I do want to ask you, because you raised a good point. Nowadays, wrestlers have to throw everything and the kitchen sink into a match. Nobody wants to lose on one finisher. False finishes kind of rule the end of a match. As a promoter and a guy who works in the industry, do you think that adds some challenges to today's product? As a guy who's going over matches with wrestlers, you can't just say, hit them with the lariat clothesline and cover the win. You kind of got to throw a little bit of everything into the match. Does that make your job and performers' jobs more challenging, do you think?
Well, not to pull back the curtain too much like you just said, but I give my guys, at least on the independent level, ISPW, a lot of creative freedom as far as the match itself goes. You know, I'll let them know, you know, how much time there is and the outcome of what I'm trying to, the point I'm trying to get across or who's going over. But anything in between all that, you know, there's no agent like there is in WWE. And, you know, and those guys obviously know how to wrestle a hell of a lot better than I do. And they know their characters better than I do, right? So I give them a lot of creative freedom when it comes to that. As far as just, you know, moves nowadays compared to yesteryear, I think a big part of that is, you know, just the type of fan is so different now than back then. And that has a lot to do with, you know, social media, with, you know, getting things instantly when you want them. So if you have your phone on you, you have access to the entire world now, right? Whether it be Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, your bank, your emails, everything is immediately accessible on your phone, right? So I think that wrestling, and hopefully this makes sense, like wrestling fans and people in general want instant gratification in 2024. And you saw 6 months ago when, you know, the Bloodline storyline was going on, or a year ago when he retained against Cody, and the people were going fucking crazy and they were talking all kinds of shit because they wanted that instant gratification of Cody winning instead of just, you know, following along the story and see how it plays out. Man, I guarantee you that Roman Reigns leaves WrestleMania 40 as the champion. And if he does, I was going to wait till the week before, but I'm going to say it now. I'm going to go with Roman for WrestleMania. And listen, if Cody wins, that'd be awesome, right? He absolutely deserves it. He's the next guy. He's the next John Cena, in my opinion. But I would just love to see all those Cody crybabies when Cody, once again, another WrestleMania comes and goes, he loses the big one. But they won't be thinking, hey, he can win the Royal Rumble for a third time ever in a row, first time ever, make history, and then do it. They want that immediate gratification. And I think that is why, partly why, finishing moves meant way more back then than they do now, if that makes any sense.
It does, man. And a bold prediction for the outcome of WrestleMania by Tommy Fierro. Tommy, the call line is stacked and packed here, and so we're going to get to it. But before we go to the first call, the topic of the show is the most iconic finishing moves ever. Now, people may have different opinions or definitions of what the word iconic means. Before we jump into the first call, I'd love to know, Tommy, what is your definition? When you're thinking iconic finishing moves, what kind of criteria are you judging these on, if you can share?
Well, I'll just give you, I'll blurt off several that I'm thinking right off the top of my head.
Are these in your top three, or these are just ones that were in your head?
These are just in my head. I'll narrow down my top three at the end of the show. But off the top of my head, you hear iconic finishing moves. How can you not think of the big leg drop from Hulk Hogan? How can you not think of Macho Man Randy Savage, you know, jumping off the top rope and dropping that elbow? How can you not think of Jake the Snake Roberts giving someone a DDT? How do you not think of Superfly Jimmy Snuka leaping off the top of the rope, or even more, leaping off the top of the cage onto his opponent? How do you not think about The Undertaker giving a tombstone pile driver to someone? How do you not think of Stone Cold Steve Austin giving the stunner to someone? I mean, there's a lot of iconic finishing moves. And we're not talking about 80s finishing moves. We're talking about iconic finishing moves. Ric Flair's figure four. I mean, we can go on and on. I'm really curious to see what today's top three is for each caller.
So am I, man. I'm really excited about this because in my mind, an iconic move isn't just a well-known move. It just isn't a well-executed move. It's just not one with a fun name. Iconic means like it's up on the next level. To me, it means if you're a non-wrestling fan, you've heard of this move, or maybe you've put it on a buddy wrestling in the basement. Like, it's just part of culture at this point. When you hear the word finishing move, it pops into your mind.
Can I jump in real quick before you take the first call? So you just said a finishing move that everyone has heard the name of. If that's the case, I mean, what move is more famously known than the body slam? Everyone, if you're not a wrestling fan, chances are you heard of body slam, or you heard of pile driver possibly. But body slam, I think the majority of people have heard of body slam. So if that's what you mean by it, I mean, that would have to be, I don't know who it is that does it. I mean, all wrestlers, a lot of wrestlers do body slams. But if it's just the move itself that's iconic, or that non-wrestling fans have heard the name of, a body slam has to be on the top of the list. I mean, even there's even a movie named after it. So are we talking moves themselves or guys that perform the moves?
Would you qualify a body slam as a finishing move?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, hasn't there been – I'm sure if you look back, if you date back to the 80s or the 70s, maybe not a body – yeah, it's finishing moves. You're right, but –
I mean, we've seen power slams, we've seen the world's strongest slam. There's been variations of it, but I would not put just a straightforward body slam as an iconic finisher. Iconic move, well-known move, absolutely.
Okay. Yes. I'm just clarifying. That's all. So, yeah. So,
sounds good.
So an iconic finisher that everyone has heard of?
Well, that's my criteria. I mean, that doesn't have to be your criteria. I'm just thinking if something's iconic, it kind of – it hits pop culture. People who aren't wrestling fans know what it is. Like, I would say a couple you named, the stunner, I think non-wrestling fans know what a stunner is. It was part of pop culture because Stone Cold is part of pop culture.
I will tell you, okay, so with that being said, I will tell you a finishing move that has gone viral over the last decade is the RKO. You see a lot of people doing the RKO, whether it be at high school sports games, famous soccer players doing it. So, I mean, RKO would be definitely up there as far as iconic finishers with, you know, there's so many different, and I'm really curious to see what everyone's going to pick today.
Yeah, I'm excited to, before we answer the first call, I need to know, Tommy, have you ever hit anybody with an RKO out of nowhere?
I will on May the 2nd when you're here at the Wrestling Collector.
My head will be on a swivel. Don't want to get hit with an RKO out of nowhere. All right, we're going to jump into the Rock and Wrestling Slam Line. We're taking your opinion. What do you feel are the three most iconic finishing moves ever? And then plus, we want to hear one bonus from you that you feel is either A, overrated, or B, underrated as a finishing move. Up first on the Slam Line, all the way out from Chico, California, the iconic Babyface Brian. Brian, good morning, sir. Thank you for joining the conversation.
Good morning, Jay. Good morning, Tommy. Hey, great conversation so far with us. Hey, you guys covered everything really well so far. I didn't think anybody was going to say the RKO, and then Tommy brought it up, and I'll surprise you guys. Like, we talked about finishers before, and my favorites were the DDT, Paul Orndorff's pile driver, and Randy Savage's elbow drop, but only the elbow drop is going to make my most iconic. I feel like all of us as kids would hit that elbow drop off of the couch, onto a bed, onto somebody in a swimming pool. So I'll put that one in there, the RKO and the stunner. Those are my three. The DDT is one of my favorites, but it's a non-finisher and no longer in the list. The pile driver is outlawed, so that one is off the list. Hogan's leg drop, everybody saw it, but it never did anything for me personally other than signal the end of a match, you know, other than against Warrior at WrestleMania 6. So, yeah, I'm going to go with, like Tommy said, on the RKO and the stunner and throw in Randy's elbow drop. And then I'll say the finisher that always bugged me the most was the shake, rattle, and roll. I just – when Honky Tonk Man would hit that, I was just – yeah, it just disgusted me. So that one was always the most lame finisher to me. So, like I say, great topic. Thanks for – we're hitting all the bases here. And then Tommy, I saw something on the internet about ISPW being available to view on, I think it's called Prime Video or something like that. Tell me, could you tell me about that real quick, and I'll get out of here.
Sure. I was actually going to bring it up at the end of today's show. So our show from last Friday featuring Mick Foley as the special guest general manager for the evening is available now in its entirety on Premier Wrestling. We are now part, it's a new app, so anyone out there, definitely go to your app store and type in Premier Wrestling, and the show is actually available for free. So if you go to our ISPW Wrestling Facebook page, we posted the link on there. And also last night we did our press conference for the Golden Ticket Rumble. Is really, really good. And that's available on ISPW Wrestling's Facebook page as well. So, yeah, so going forward, you can check out all of our shows on Premier Wrestling. Our first show, our debut show from this past Friday, as of the last time I found out, they uploaded it on, I believe it was Monday. And as of last night, I believe there was like over 5,500 views, which is really, really good. And they said it was one of the top three shows, watch shows on their whole system over the last week. So we're really excited about that. So Jumpin' Jay, Brian, all the listeners on hold. You can definitely, going forward, if you can't make it to ISPW, you can check out our shows on Premier Wrestling. And again, if you head over to the ISPW Wrestling Facebook page, just type in ISPW Wrestling if you're not following us yet on there. There is a link from a couple days ago where you can view the whole show, and going forward we'll be partnered up with Premier Wrestling, and we're really excited about that.
Well, congratulations. That's awesome. And then I had to comment on one other thing you talked about, which is the peek behind the curtain as far as a general outcome and direction and time that the matches went, but letting the guys – that know what they're doing, get in there and do it. I feel it just reminded me of NFL franchises that are perennially successful. Maybe not quite a Super Bowl winner. Maybe they lost in overtime this year, but the ownership of the 49ers kind of just softened and lets the guys that know what they're doing get in there and run the ship, and they've stayed successful. And then, you know, teams like maybe the Cowboys, maybe Jerry Jones gets involved a little too much, and it doesn't quite come together. So thanks for that peek behind the curtain, my friend.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. And one more quick peek now that you just said that. So, yeah, my guys are real pros, and if you haven't been to an ISPW show yet, I urge you, if you live in the tri-state area, to definitely check it out. And, again, if you don't, you can now watch ISPW Wrestling on Premier Wrestling's app, and I'm telling you, it's literally the crossroads of professional wrestling, where the past meets the present and it meets the future. It's the crossroads of pro wrestling, and I'm really excited that you guys all get the opportunity to watch it a lot more going forward this year.
Again, congratulations and all the success to ISPW and you as well, Tommy. Thanks again.
Thank you, man. And good news for you. I know that you're not able to make it to 80s Wrestling Con this year. We will be broadcasting that on Premier Wrestling as well, so you'll be able to check it out.
Very, very cool. Thanks so much. Have a great rest of the show, guys.
Thanks,
hey,
man.
Thank you so much, Brian. Calling in and kicking it off as usual. Tommy, what do you think of the Shake Rattle and the Roll? Kind of a swinging net breaker that ties into the Honky Tonk Man's Elvis impersonation gimmick. What was your thoughts on the old Shake Rattle and Roll?
I loved Honky Tonk Man as a heel. I thought that he was great. He was the kind of heel that wasn't scared to show his ass, you know. So I really, really thought he was a great character. As far as the finisher goes, that's all you needed back then. You didn't need to put a table on fire and set someone on top and go through 25 other tables on top of that. It's like something as simple as that worked back then. So I have nothing bad to say about that at all.
So as of right now, caller number one in the books, we've got Macho Man's elbow drop, the RKO out of nowhere, and then, of course, Stone Cold's stunner as his most iconic finishing moves ever. We're going to see where we end up at the end of this conversation. Up next, it's time to connect with Matt from Boston. Matt, good morning, sir. Welcome to the conversation.
Double J, Confather, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Happy to be on today. So it's really interesting, this topic, because when I look at the adjective iconic, for a moment I have to step back and say, well, that doesn't necessarily mean personal preference. You can not like something that's iconic. So I had to take a moment and think about that. And in the end I decided, well, I think my choices get flavored by my preference. So in the end, the semantics of the adjective don't mean as much to me because I put more weight in the ones that I prefer. So, and I think also finishing move also implies, I think the implication for the question today is, you know, something that was made famous by likely a single person or a single tag team, and not just a move that, you know, sort of anybody could use and then get a pinfall. And so that's kind of the criteria that I use to come up with my list, you know, along with things like I put a lot more weight into finishing moves that can happen at any moment, that don't require a long, convoluted setup. I think the RKO is a great example of that premise. At any point in any moment, you can get RKO'd out of nowhere. And I think that surprise or shock adds a little oomph to the finishing move in a lot of cases, as opposed to if you know for the last 10 or 15 seconds it's coming. So I like that. I like that factor. And for me personally, submission moves don't really do it for me. I prefer finishers that you get the 1, 2, 3. So I'm going to lead off with a couple of my, I think, overrated. I think the Hogan leg drop, while as iconic as they come, is extremely overrated. I can recall even as a kid thinking, watching the leg drop and like, yeah, I'm a Hulkamaniac, he's going to win, but it's like never even touched that guy. What are we doing here? The figure four leg lock, while iconic, never really a fan of that. And the rock bottom would be one that, you know, I'd say, not a huge fan of that finisher. Although it's interesting because I do kind of like the Becky Lynch version of the rock bottom that she's been using. So I don't know what to make of that. So yeah, I'd say those are my overrated ones. And then it was really hard to whittle down to three. There was so many good finishers. I thought some honorable mentions would be the spike pile driver by the Brainbusters. I thought that was a pretty devastating looking finisher. The sharpshooter, you know, looks great. Another great honorable mention, the pedigree. I thought, you know, when I first saw the pedigree was like, oh my goodness, that's crazy. You know, that guy's face is smashed. So those are all kind of honorable mentions. I think great finishers. top three, I'm going with Sweet Chin Music. I love that, you know, you can hit that out of anywhere. And it just looks, you know, the presentation looks great. So Sweet Chin Music would be one of my top three. And then, not so surprising, the Stone Cold Stunner. And my number one, which, you know, goes against one of my own criteria, which was can happen at any moment, is the Macho Man Elbow. And I just think that was just such a – the build to that elbow every time was just beautiful. It looked great. It looked devastating. And you knew it was over. Well, up until WrestleMania 8, I guess, when Warrior took five of them and just popped right up.
Right.
And I'll never get over that as long as I live. But so those are kind of my top three. The elbow, the stunner, and the Sweet Chin Music. There's a lot of great ones to choose from. It was really hard to whittle that down, but that's where I landed.
Yeah, those are all fantastic. I love them all. The sweet chin music. What bothers me now is that super kick is used everywhere. Where back then, when Shawn Michaels was doing it, that's the only place you would see it, and he would kind of tune up the band in the corner and give that sweet high kick. And now, like a lot of finishing moves, it goes from being a finishing move in yesterday's product to being just kind of a move that people now throw into the mix in the course of a match, which kind of bothers me. And I'm glad you brought up Hogan's leg drop on the overrated, because as a diehard Hulkamaniac as a kid, that move bothered the heck out of me, because you would see other guys do a leg drop just during the course of a regular match as like a throwaway move. And then – what was
Can
so special
in?
About Hogan's leg?
In?
Yeah, jump in.
What's so special about Hogan's leg? Okay, so give me three people that you said that dropped that leg and they kicked out. Give me three examples.
Listen, I know it's an iconic
give me
move
one,
to
no,
Hogan.
Give me one example.
It is a
Warrior.
Give me one example.
The Warrior
kicked out.
No. I'm not talking about kicking out. You said, didn't you say that other guys that threw the leg drop and people kick out?
Yeah, like Bret Hart had a beautiful leg drop in his repertoire, but it wouldn't end a match.
Right.
It was kind of like a fast-paced,
right,
quick leg drop.
Okay, so that's a perfect scenario, right? So Bret Hart. So as a kid from the 1980s, right, we all are, if Bret Hart dropped a leg drop on whoever's opponent was it Kato at the time? Was it Tanaka? Was it Marty Jannetty in a tag team? Right, so you're comparing that leg drop compared to Hulk Hogan body slamming Andre the Giant in front of 93,000 people, and then dropping that iconic leg drop, 1, 2, 3. I think it's a little unfair to compare a Bret Hart leg drop to a Hulk Hogan leg drop. That's just my opinion.
So what makes the Hogan leg drop more devastating than a Bret Hart leg drop?
Because it's Hulk. I'll give you the easiest answer I possibly could. Because it's Hulk Hogan.
I mean, I can't. I'm a huge Hulkamaniac, and he is the icon of the sport in the World Wrestling Federation. So it's hard to argue against. You know, he could have ended the match any way he wanted to end the match. I'm just saying the leg drop is a finishing move. I agree with Matt. It's a little overrated.
So I think what we're really getting to here in the conversation is that there are moves, and moves can be used by anyone, but it only becomes a finisher if it's made iconic by one person, and that's their designated finisher. So while
bingo,
many people can
bingo,
yeah, many people can throw a leg drop, or many people can throw an elbow or whatever, that's not inclusive of this conversation. That's just a move that's being executed by a person, whereas Hogan's leg drop and Savage's elbow are finishers and could be in consideration for this conversation. So I think that's sort of where you guys are you know, defining that line, so to speak.
Yeah.
There's no right or wrong answer. Obviously, this is all subjective. Like, I look at it a lot differently than Jay looks at it, and Jay probably looks at it a lot differently than you look at it. There's no wrong answer whatsoever. I'm just saying, in my perspective, in my personal opinion, I think that Hulk Hogan is synonymous for that leg drop. And you know when he hawked up, no, 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 punch, 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 throw to the ropes, big boot, or a big body slam if it was a big guy, and then the leg drop, one, two, three. I mean, that, like you said, Matt, he made that his finisher. He's iconic because of that finisher. So it's tricky, man. It's really, really, really deep because one man's finishing move, like you just said, Hulk Hogan in the leg drop is different than Bret Hart doing a leg drop where it's in the middle of a match and it's another spot. So it's tricky and it's very, very, very subjective.
So I'll leave you on this. I'll leave you on this. I'll put it this way. Back in the 80s, I dropped thousands of Hogan leg drops on my little brother. I didn't drop a single Bret Hart leg drop on my little brother.
Fair enough.
There we go. There we go. And he got a lot of Macho Man elbows, but he didn't get anybody else's elbow. So there you go. So, all right. Well, I'm interested to hear what everybody else has to say. So,
hey, Matt, this just gives me a lot more material because for the last 2 years, I kept going to the well one too many times with this Boris Zukov joke. And I know that Boris Zukov is going to be at 80s wrestling con, so I can milk this Boris Zukov rib and from now until 80s wrestling con. However, after 80s wrestling con, I need some new material. So the new material will be, how can Hulk Hogan's leg drop be an iconic finisher when Bret Hart did it and Skinner kicked out at a half a count?
I just want to point out a couple of things here. A, Matt also said it was overrated, so don't leave me hanging like I'm the only guy. Two, even Hulk Hogan has said he wishes he would have done a different finisher, that he didn't.
Yeah.
Listen, looking back at it, he wished he would have done the leg drop because of the physical damage
Matt also was kind enough to buy $50 gift certificates for all you guys for Christmas, so Matt's opinion means more than yours right now as far as me sitting in this store does.
All right.
Totally kidding. Even though
I thought the leg drop was a little overrated, I still did not turn my back on Hogan at WrestleMania 6. One of us did, and it wasn't me. So, Matt, thank you for calling in and joining this conversation and stirring the pot a little bit.
Gentlemen, I cannot wait to listen to the rest of this. I can't wait to hear some more callers, but I can't wait to listen to the rest of this. So thank you very much, and be good.
Hey, you too. Thank you so much. The Rockin' Wrestling Slam line is stacked and packed for real, so we're going to have to speed through some of these calls. They're all amazing. They're all great to hear, but we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 callers waiting on hold. We're going to try to get to everybody. Up next, Tom from Parsippany. Tom, welcome to the Iconic Finishing Moves conversation.
What's up, guys? How's everybody doing? Double J, Tommy, what's going on?
You're bleeding.
I'm doing great. How are you?
That's it, man. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I saw the topic today and I figured I'd call in and I really thought it was an interesting topic. And I wanted to tell you as far as my three iconic finishing maneuvers of all time, I would say my favorite one or one of the most iconic ones of all time had to be Ravishing Rick Rude's Rude Awakening, because when you knew you saw that, just about everybody except for the Warrior in SummerSlam, and he should have been put out too, was down for the count. So I always loved that move. It seemed like it was a dangerous move to pull off, because obviously it was a neck breaker. And, you know, that was a great finishing maneuver. I always thought that was my favorite. Another one I loved, and I saw him win the U.S. title in the NWA with this, was Stan Hansen's Lariat. He took out Lex Luger. I'll never forget that with the Lariat. I thought Stan Hansen's Lariat was a tremendous finishing maneuver. And to finish out the top three, I always loved, from the martial arts aspect of things, I always loved Haku's roundhouse kick. Always reminded me of like a great martial artist or playing like a video game or something like that. So those were my top three, guys, of all time.
Tom, I can tell you like realistic finishers, because like you said, the Rude Awakening, that would be dangerous to put on somebody. It could definitely go wrong. Same with the Lariat and Haku's kick. Those are legitimate moves. And so I can tell you like the hard-hitting action, Tom.
Unlike the leg drop. Just listen, you're beating it on the bush. You're like, I hear you. You really want to think I don't know what the fuck he's talking about right now. I think that I know. You're beating around the
absolutely.
Bush.
Absolutely. And my least favorite, probably my least favorite, was the Warrior Splash. I couldn't stand that. I mean, he was very limited in his abilities and just, you know, I just, he didn't, you know, I didn't really put much thought in. He just splashed people. I just couldn't stand the Warrior Splash. But as far as the Stan Hansen's Lariat, the Rude Awakening, Haku's Kick, those were my three all-time favorites. I love those three finishing maneuvers.
Those are great picks, and I'm going to agree that the Warrior Splash, I love the Gorilla Press, but you can't press everybody.
Yeah.
The Splash, I think, left something to desire, but I would love to hear Tommy Fiero defend the Warrior Jump.
I will defend it. We'll talk later at the end of the conversation.
All right, guys, great. I know you got other callers to get to. As always, a great show, everything. And again, I can't wait counting down the days till WrestleCon 5, baby.
That's right.
Yeah, man.
Thank you so much,
listen,
Tom.
That's it.
I promise you, I promise you this year, I won't be bleeding.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Don't forget to mail the tickets, Tommy. I'll see you soon.
I'm going to, listen, just for you, I'm going to make you wait until May 1st. Just to make you sweat it out.
Take care, guys. Take care.
Hey, you too, Tom. Thank you so much. Great list of finishing moves, iconic ones. And I think what's becoming more entertaining or interesting is the list of what people believe are either over or underrated moves, because some iconic wrestlers are ending up on the overrated finisher list, which is entertaining to me, which is surprising.
I strongly disagree with this. Listen, there's got to be a caller on hold right now. There's five more stacked up, and we'll get to all of them. And if someone else calls, we'll get to them too if you have the time, Jay. But there's got to be someone out there. The name of the topic of this show is the most iconic finisher. So iconic to me means legendary. So if I'm looking back at my childhood from the 1980s, I'm thinking of Hulk Hogan dropping that leg drop. And I'm going to go on the record right now, Jay, and say that's one of my top three most iconic finishers ever. And I know you disagree, and I want to see if anyone down that line agrees with me, because now we're saying that Hogan's finisher was overrated and the Ultimate Warrior's finisher was overrated. I'm looking at the overall – go ahead.
Nobody waiting on hold is going to list the Warrior Splash as one of the three most iconic finishing moves. Hogan's leg drop might make the list.
Oh, no, no.
Hogan
not,
is iconic. But the Warrior's not making
not,
anybody's
no, no,
top
no.
three list.
I didn't say that it would make the top three. I'm saying that I highly disagree that is an overrated finisher, because Ultimate Warrior was one of the most over characters and drew a lot more money than probably 90% of the people that have ever laced their boots. So for that reason alone, that simple finisher to me is iconic, because it wasn't Scott Casey or Brady Boone doing it. It was the Ultimate Warrior. So I'm looking at things differently than you are, and that's okay. Again, this is subjective. I want to see anyone out there that shares the same thoughts that I do. And if not, that's okay too.
That's right. It is all subjective, and it's been a fun conversation thus far. We're going to keep it rolling. Up next on the Rock and Wrestling Slam Line, it's Mike C. from New Jersey. Mike, good morning, sir. We're talking iconic finishing moves.
Iconic finishers. I like it. Great topic. Good morning, Jumpin' Jay. Good morning, Tommy Fiero. Good morning, listeners.
Hey, what's up,
great
man?
Call-in today.
Mike, stop real quick. I want to let everyone know that a good friend of the show, Mike C., a New Jersey native, an ISPW regular, recently had a baby. So I want to congratulate him and his wife.
Woo!
And a big ISPW supporter, big supporter of the show. Mike, thank you very much.
I appreciate you, Tommy. And if I can break some news, I am making a one-night appearance at ISPW Rumble tomorrow night in Totowa.
Nice.
I can't miss it. And it's a one-night return for a little while, but it's I'm coming home to ISPW. So not to take up too much time. And real quick, I just want to, I, you know, I called in today to save the listeners so they don't have to listen to the zero-star caller, Toto with Tom. iconic finishers. Great topic, and I'm going to go a little bit different from everyone else. I'm going to say the Razor's Edge, okay? Ooh. Scott Hall, Razor Ramon, that was an iconic finisher in the 90s. When he hit it, it was out. You know, that was it. So that's one. I'm going to go back to one of Hulk Hogan's greatest opponents, actually, for another great finisher, and that is the Camel Clutch. I spent a lot of time as a child in the Camel Clutch, courtesy of my older brother. And, you know, I always just, you know, I can remember the towel getting thrown in and, you know, Backlund, Bob Backlund, an iconic champion, losing the title to that finisher. That always stuck in my head. And for the third one, it's Jake Roberts' specific DDT. Jake Roberts transitioned from the knee lift to the DDT when he discovered it on accident. But the name of the DDT was given because it was named after the poison. It was a lights out finisher. And in the NWA and the WWE in the early days, when he hit that finisher, it was lights out. So there's my three.
That's a very solid three. I'm a huge fan of all three of those moves. Razor's Edge was unlike anything I had ever seen before at the time, the way he would, you know, get the arms out, almost like a crucifix up on his shoulders and pile drive him down over his shoulders. Was awesome. Camel Clutch, can't argue with that. DDT, can't argue with that. Do you have an over or underrated one that you want to share, Mike?
Just, you know, an underrated one, you know, since he has been gracing our Friday night television screens. I always thought the People's Elbow was more of a better setup move than a finisher. I always preferred that he hit that before the Rock Bottom rather than after. So,
yeah, it's
a
almost like
move, but
insult to injury that People's Elbow is.
Mm-hmm. And whoever the last caller was that shouted out the ravishing Rick Rude's finisher, the Rude Awakening, iconic, the Perfect Plex, iconic.
Mm-hmm.
Lot of great finishers. Let's see what the other callers have to say. Tommy, I will see you tomorrow night. Jumpin' Jay, I will see you in your usual trip out to Jersey in May. And gentlemen, I'm just glad that Toto with Tom doesn't make the airwaves today. Have a great rest of the show, fellas.
You
thanks,
too, Mike. Thank
Front
you so
Mafia.
Much for calling
Front
in.
Front Row Mafia for life.
So is Mike C part of the Front Row Mafia?
Some say he's the leader of the Front Row Mafia, but we have to ask Toto with Tom about that.
Man, because he was putting down Toto with Tom, and then he ends with Front Row Mafia for life. So we got kind of like a NWO Hollywood Wolfpack situation happening, huh?
Yes, we do. We definitely
yeah,
do.
Very interesting. You wouldn't believe, just as luck would have it. Do you know who's hanging on the line next?
I hope it's the real leader of the Front Row Mafia, Toto with Tom.
Well, it's time for Toto with Tom. Tom, good morning, sir. Welcome to the conversation. Perfect timing after that last caller.
I'm going to go over my most underrated finisher, and that would have to be Mike Cleary's, because after that announcement, I'm surprised they were able to concede. Nice job, Mike.
Whoa, man.
I don't know what's going on. There's some kind of backstory here. I got to get the dirt sheet.
That's big heat.
Also, Marvelous Marvin, when he called in earlier today, he said that Savage hit the elbow drop on Warrior 8 times in WrestleMania 8. It was WrestleMania 7, Marvin.
You talking about Matt from Boston?
Sure. Okay, my underrated move in the 80s that I thought was great was Tito Santana's. I love that flying forearm. The most overrated move was the Ric Flair figure four, albeit iconic. I mean, how many times did he win a match with it? He did 16 times.
Not very many.
Yeah, he's a 16-time world champion, and, I mean, nobody ever submitted to that. It was ridiculous. Top three most iconic finishing maneuvers. I'm going to stick with the 80s because I'm respectful to this podcast. Number one it has to be the Undertaker's tombstone, and I'll give you a few reasons why. Number one, the name perfectly identified with the character. The move actually looked like a silhouette of a tombstone. And number three, nobody ever kicked out of it. So that's my most iconic. Number two, I agree with Tommy Fierro, the Hulk Hogan leg drop. It matters who does it. It matters who does it.
You didn't say Duggan.
I listen to a lot of other podcasts because I'm that guy. And I've heard from other professional wrestlers say the difference between a move working and not move, and a move not working is who performs
it. Thank you.
And then finally, my number three would have to be the Superfly by Jimmy Snuka. I mean, how many people saw those iconic moments when Superfly was on top of the steel cage, okay, when he did it against Bob Backlund and then when he did it against the Magnificent Morocco? There are actually two WWF Hall of Fame superstars that were in attendance that night. And why? Because they saw Superfly jump off the top of the steel cage onto Morocco, and that would be Bully Ray and Mick Foley, and also Little Guido from ECW was in attendance that night, and I think there might have been actually one other person too. That one night alone at Madison Square Garden changed those four people's journey into professional wrestling, and it was also something no one else was doing. That's why, to me, it's very iconic.
That clip of Snuka coming off the cage onto Morocco might be the most iconic clip of any finisher being performed ever. Like, that clip itself might be the most iconic clip of a finisher being performed.
I agree. I also want to touch on what you said earlier, Jumping Jim. You mentioned to me before that there's a lot of moves nowadays which are basically spots. That they're no longer finishes, right? The super kick.
Right. Yep.
And what?
Yep.
If you look at it, though, if you look at pro wrestling as a whole, there was a time when the body slam was considered a finishing maneuver. If you go all the way back to the 50s, you know, when they were doing punches, kicks. You know what I'm saying? It's basically wrestling evolving over time. I'm not saying that. You know, the fact that people are kicking out of these moves anymore should continue. I don't like the false finishes. But, like, I understand today a super kick is a spot in a match. It's wrestling evolving. And now what we're doing is different moves to showcase as finishers. But I also don't like the fact that that Canadian Super Destroyer, if you recall, that came out like 10 years ago, that was a revolutionary move. Nowadays, people are kicking out of it, and that used to be like an end-all, be-all to a match. So somewhere along the line, there has to be a point where it stops. I think we have to protect these moves. That's just my opinion.
I think that's a very good opinion.
Strongly agree,
yeah, not just for the wrestling industry, but for the wrestlers themselves, because if you keep upping the ante, eventually, you're gonna reach the breaking point where, you know, bodies can only do so much, and careers are gonna get much, much shorter.
Before Total with Tom leaves today, I want to just say that last night was a red letter day in ISPW history. The first presser by ISPW held in Total, New Jersey. You could have seen it live on Facebook as it happens. You can still see it now, and it was ISPW promoting their big show this Friday night in Totowa, and I hope to look forward to more of these pressers in the future. No cameras.
Absolutely. Hey, Tom, real quick before you leave, I know we're in your hometown tomorrow. You are the official ISPW correspondent. Can you real quick for a minute just share some recap from last night and also the big show tomorrow night in Totowa at the PAL?
Last night, we saw Crowbar give a heartfelt promo. It wasn't really so much Crowbar as it was Christopher Ford. He had just gotten out of work, and he talked about the industry, and he talked about how much he loved it. He still had his work clothes on, and he managed to put over his, in the main event for Friday, GKM, It was a match that was supposed to have happened in Barnegat, New Jersey a month ago. It never did, okay, because if there was outside interference, but we're going to see it for the first time in Totowa tomorrow night. Also, the women's division. We have a new champion, Ava Everett. It's the first time I ever saw her, Tommy, was last week in Hackettstown. She impressed me very much so, and now I'm going to be keeping my eyes on her to see where she goes with that title. I know Vicious Vicky was not very happy losing it. She said her shoulders were up in their last encounter. The tag team championships will be on the line. The Now was there last night. Hale Collins was promoting the fact that the Now were named the BCP 2023 Tag Team of the Year. That's in all of independent wrestling, by the way. So that's a very prestigious honor. And they are defending the tag team titles against Sent to Slaughter, which is a combination of Danny Moth, who I am glad did not show up at the presser last night because he is a handful, and Shane Donovan, who is also an ornery person there as well. I'm sure they have something up their sleeve, and I've asked Totowa to have extra security for this Friday night because of them. Also, there's a newcomer. He did wrestle once before in the Barnegat show. He is a champion of pro wrestling magic, and that's something that I do like what Tommy Fierro is doing at ISPW. He's bringing in champions from other promotions. So the Pro Magic Wrestling Champion, the Revolver, Alex Raymond, will be appearing Friday night, as well as the Ace Independent Wrestling Champion, Rick Recon. And Rick made a very big statement last night saying he never lost the ISPW Championship, so he put his stamp back on ISPW as he returns. And then finally, the match that I'm looking forward to most, the Shining Star, Ray Kalitri, who is class personified. He showed up last night, and he introduced a new protege. Michael Mars is now part of what he is calling Poppy Insurance. Michael Mars will make sure that Kalitri down the road, as far as, you know, losing, you know, his title like he did suspiciously in Barnegat, New Jersey last month when he lost it to a very, very talented wrestler by the name of Casey Navarro. So Casey Navarro is the champion. He'll be making his first title defense tomorrow night at the Totowa PAL. I hope to see everyone there.
Awesome, man. And again, tickets are available now. Head over to ispwwrestling.com. Again, if you live in the New Jersey area, we have a big show tomorrow night, the 30-man Golden Ticket Rumble. One match, 30 men, one winner. Totowa Tom will be front row tomorrow. The leader, and that's the leader of the Front Row Mafia, Tom. Thank you very much, and we can't wait to hear your firsthand recap next week here on 80s Wrestling the Podcast. We'll see you tomorrow, man.
No cameras.
There you go. The leader of the Front Row Mafia and the official ISPW correspondent, Mr. Totowa Tom. Always an entertaining call, Tommy.
Absolutely. Right. Man. We got one more, right?
We got three more, man. Like, this is a hot topic.
Let's do it.
People
Let's
are fired
it.
Up about the leg drop versus the splash that we got going on here.
We're going
up
overtime.
Next.
We're going overtime.
Up next, the voice of reason has returned to the show because he was absent last week. We're talking. It's time to go to the firehouse, Tommy. It's time for firefighter Brian. Brian, good morning, sir. Welcome to the most iconic finishing moves ever.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Fantastic,
hey, what's
brother.
Up, man?
How are
good
you
morning.
Doing?
You know, things can't be that good if I'm the voice of reason, but I'm I appreciate it.
There's a lot of heat today between me and Jay. A lot of heat.
I know. Oh, my God. I tell you. Totowa, you're a bad influence. Look at all your caution, my God. But this is when I saw the topic, I'm thinking to myself, you know, not too long ago they did a whole show on finishers, but the topic is impact. Iconic.
Most
iconic. Iconic. Tommy, let me just make a quick suggestion first. You know, this crossed my mind last night when I was watching AEW, and I just wanted, you know, before 80s Wrestling Con, I think a cool thing to talk about one week. You know, I think it's great that Vladimir is getting his moment in the sun, at 80s Wrestling Con. And it made me think about all the iconic and famous fans over the years. There's
Love
been
it.
Quite a few of
Love
them.
It.
And I
Love
think
it.
An idea for a show, if not on Vladimir, you could probably do a whole show on Vladimir, but on all the iconic fans. So just something to think about for a rainy day or whatever before, even after, whenever you get to it. But just something to think about. Oh, good. Okay, good. So, all right. So, you know, 1 week, hopefully. So what was I going to say? There'll be a good tie-in to 80s Wrestling Con, not to mention. So, all right. So, now the key word is iconic. Now, on the finisher show, in my opinion, the three best, and you guys have touched on this, you know, Mick Foley says it's the best finishers are the ones that could be done on anybody at any mm-hmm. time. And those three, in my opinion, Sweet Chin Music, number one. Number two, the RKO, because to this day, you never know when he's going to come out with that. And number three, I'd probably say the DDT. I always thought that was just so devastating. I always liked that one and the way he did it and how his opponent said it. When you went down, you're like, that's it? So he knew he was just so good at it. Now, and again, you guys touched on this. Foley says this all the time. The fans don't necessarily care about the finishers. It's the people who do them, which is why, yes, there's some finisher, you know, Hogan's leg drop, The Rock's people's elbow. How many guys have ended a match with a clothesline? Okay, and not only that, it's the setup, it's the delivery. Shake, rattle, and roll. Not a very devastating maneuver, but his presentation, Honky is such an underrated performer, and how over he was as a heel made fans care about it. Same thing with the Rude Awakening. If I were to say iconic finishes, I'd have to put the Stunner. Number two, I'd probably have to put the Sharpshooter, okay? Mm. Because so many guys have used the Stunner or Sharpshooter since, and they don't give it their own name. They don't call it anything else than what Austin and Bret Hart called it. And the third one, iconic, I would probably – you know what? Jake's DDT might make that list too. And not only could it be done to anybody at any time, but I'll tell you right, a PSA, God forbid you're in a fight, that is an easy move to do. Try to grab your guy in a headlock and just lean back, pull down. And unfortunately, I've had to learn that the hard way. I had to do that once, and believe me, it works. So
please tell me that story.
I'm sorry? Oh,
Brian, tell me that story first, what you just said.
Oh,
I want to hear that story.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing.
If we're going overtime, I want to be entertained at least. So tell me that story.
Here's the thing with that. You're going to wish you're going to say it's better left a mystery. Me and my guys, we were just playing around once, you know, right, and I took a guy's, you know, I pulled him just – put him in the headlock, leaned back. Okay, I didn't do it like Jake did, or else he would have been fine. Instead, his head hit the fucking floor. Excuse my language. Okay, but no, sir. Honestly, looking back, God, he didn't get hurt because we heard that thud, boom, and luckily he got up. And he was actually able to smile. He said, "You didn't have to DDT me." I was like, "Dude, if I knew what that move really is, I wouldn't have done it." But you don't want to get hit with that. But I will tell you this quick story. You'll like this, Tommy. When I met was talking to Jake Roberts, I asked him about the DDT on Ricky Steamboat on the floor on Saturday Night's Main Event, and I said, you know, you did on the floor. You know, he couldn't move. And I said, you know, he's lucky he didn't break his neck. And Jake looked at me, and you could tell he was dead serious. he looked at me and said, he's lucky it didn't kill him. But I told him a story that made him laugh, and I think it's going to make you guys laugh. Everybody's going through, like, their scars on their body. Next time I see you guys, I'll show you. I got a on my right hand, the whole hand, I got a big scar on it. I said to Jake, you know how I got this? And keep in mind, we all know Jake's, you know, struggles out of the ring. I said, I got this from surgery. When I was a junior in high school, I broke my hand coming off a keg stand. And he was hysterical laughing. And I said, needless to say, my parents are very proud. So, hey, who else could have a story from high school that they've told Jake the Snake Roberts? So, you know, it's a badge of honor. So, before I leave you guys, underrated. You guys talked about underrated. Good way to get some attention to guys that don't get much. My three underrated, number one, two Cold Scorpios, 450 splash. That may be the hardest one to do, and the only person I've ever seen do it that do it anywhere near as good as him, believe it or not, I can't believe I'm saying this, Alexa Bliss. Okay, to say Alexa Bliss is no Manami Toyota would be an understatement. Yeah, she does that 450 splash. I can't believe that. Number two, the Eliminators, Total Elimination. If you've never seen it, you don't know what I'm talking about, go on your, you know, video machine, whatever you use. Total Elimination. When somebody got hit with that, it was over. I showed that to my wife. She's like, holy jeez. Very devastating finisher. And number three, underrated, I always loved this. And you'll appreciate this, Tommy, one of your own. God bless him, wherever he is. Chris Candido, the Blonde Bombshell. I love the power bomb off the top rope. So what do you guys think? What do you guys – I know I said a lot, but what do you guys think?
I'm just thinking back to your story when you DDT'd your friend and nearly killed him.
I figured you would.
Listen,
I figured you would.
Thank goodness you didn't drop Hogan's leg on him, because that would have definitely finished it, wouldn't it, Tommy?
Thank goodness I didn't sit on him.
Oh, we're gonna score up at the end.
Listen, man, we missed you last week, Firefighter Brian. You'd have been a good one to weigh in on last week's conversation.
I'll just say, honestly, mine really isn't much different from anybody else. I think the only real argument is, to me, you guys all say Flair's the first one. To me, Sting is the first one. Sting stayed loyal to that company from beginning to end. Before Hogan and Macho Man Pipe, before all them came, Sting was he walked so they all could run in WCW. Okay? He to me, Sting is the biggest name in the history of WCW. Then, of course, yeah, Flair has to belong on there. Hogan, while he wasn't homegrown, let's be honest, WCW was never a force to be reckoned with until Hogan got there, for better or worse, whether it's right or not. And, I mean, the fourth spot, I'd have to say Bischoff. Bischoff was the only person that gave Vince a serious run for his money. He's, again, that NWO Monday Night War, you can't talk about the story of wrestling without bringing up, you know, the Monday Night Wars. And Bischoff, that was Bischoff. But I loved Matt from Boston's take, substituting Bischoff. So Ted Turner, when you think about it, it wasn't Ted and his money and his idea to get into the quote-unquote wrestling business. We might not have had any of that. So it is a good point from him. But, you know, you got to give the devil his due. You know, Bischoff, I don't know, man. Bischoff's one of the only – I think what hurt people don't take Bischoff seriously is because, unlike every other promoter that crashed and burned against Vince, Eric wasn't playing with his money, okay? Eric was playing with somebody else's money, okay? And I think that – kills some credit with him, not with me, but because he gave Vince the biggest fight anybody ever had, but he wasn't playing with his money, And I think that hurts his credibility. I don't think it should so much, but it does. So that's really the, I've been in the last couple of weeks, couldn't call in, but I'm glad to be back, making up for some lost time. And always good to say anything else, guy. Anything else you want to chime in on that I said?
No, I think you're four.
We're way over time, by the way.
We're over.
Yeah.
And I think
all
you're
right,
four
guys,
from WCW.
Thank you for going over for us. We really appreciate it. And I'll talk to you guys hopefully next week, okay?
Sounds good. Thank
Thanks,
you, Brian.
Man.
I think his Mount Rushmore WCW was the same as yours, Tommy. I think he named the same four guys. All right, we got one last caller hanging on. He drew number 30 in the Rumble because he's been hanging on this whole time, but it's time for him to make his entrance. It's Jason from Texas. Jason, thank you so much for hanging on the line. We're talking the most iconic finishing moves of all time.
Yeah, this has been one of the really most entertaining podcasts ever, probably, because just everybody's got such good stuff to chime in with. And so much so that as I'm sitting there listening, I'm checking them off my list because I had a bunch that obviously everyone's already talked about, right? So I'm going to go a completely different route this time. I'm going with the 80s tag teams. Number one, most iconic, the Doomsday Device from the Legion of Doom Road Warriors.
I can't believe we went this long without somebody mentioning it. Thank you, Jason.
I mean, put it this way. If anybody was put on those shoulders and then took that clothesline and it wasn't a wrestling situation and it was real life, they'd probably be in the hospital, I'm confident, at least. So, yeah, that's one. Number two, and it goes back to Toto with Tom's point about the name and everything too, the Heart Attack, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
Jim Neidhart, somebody, Bret Hart going off the ropes and clotheslining. I mean, that to me, it was an iconic finisher. And then, you know, because I'm such a big fan, the Demolition Decapitation to me just has a really good soft spot in my heart. Plus, of course, you know, it is iconic. I mean, they were tag team champions for, you know, so long in that era that everybody got hit with that once in a while. Now, I'm not going to give a tag team overrated finisher, but to me, the most overrated finisher it's more just because of how many people have done it over the years, is the spear. I'm over it. Like, it was one thing if Goldberg hit somebody with a spear, but I never bought Edge being a spear guy. I never bought, you know, like Bobby Lashley, I guess, okay, he's a big dude, but there's like so many people that have done the spear over time that to me, it's just not that impactful and it's not that important anymore. And a lot of other people, like now, you got Jey Uso doing a spear, you know, just to mock Roman Reigns, I guess. But obviously, again, it's just one of these moves where he hits it, he pins somebody, and they always kick out. So it doesn't even matter, really. But those are mine. I wanted to go a different way and end the call with, you know, something different. Oh, and by the way, I don't like to call people out, but since Tom did it earlier, it actually was 5 Macho Man elbow drops at WrestleMania 7 for the Ultimate Warrior that he kicked out of, not 8 or whatever everybody else said. And here's the other side of that, okay? It was okay in 1989 when Hulk Hogan kicked out of 1 Macho Man elbow drop because Hulk Hogan was Hulk Hogan, right? But in 1991, Ultimate Warrior had already lost his WWF Championship to Sergeant Slaughter. It was clear that he wasn't going to be the guy to carry the flag moving forward. So I think it was a travesty that they put Macho Man on those ropes and let him go down 5 elbows on the Warrior, and then he kicks out like it was no big deal. Like, that to me just sucked.
Yeah, I hated that too. And then the way the Warrior won was just by standing on Macho's chest with 1 foot, which seemed disrespectful too. But yeah, I agree.
Yeah. 100%.
Well, Jason, I appreciate you hanging on the hold line so long, and I appreciate you bringing up tag team finishers, because tag team finishers are some of the most iconic in the business. And so I appreciate you ending the call with that.
Rock and roll, guys. Talk soon.
Thank you so much, brother. Well, there you go, Tommy. We went overtime as people wanted to know the most iconic finishing moves ever. Very entertaining, fun conversation today.
Very much so. And again, it's very subjective, obviously, by the conversation we had. It's funny. couple of our regular listeners that have my personal cell phone number texting me, telling me, "Don't let him out. Give it to him." I'm gonna back up. You're talking about the most iconic finishing moves in the history of wrestling, and this is an 80s wrestling podcast. So we're going to do our top three, right? In no particular order, Hulk Hogan's leg drop must be on my top three, along with the Macho Man Randy Savage's elbow drop. And then the third one is really, really tough for me, and I'm gonna keep it with total what Tom said, where we're going to keep it 80s based because this is 80s wrestling, the podcast, or else Stone Cold Stunner is highly up there. RKO is highly up there, but we're just going based off the 80s. So I was still torn with this one too. I obviously would not pick the Ultimate Warrior's splash because you would have annihilated me. So I kept that one off. So I'm going with Hogan's leg drop.
Yep.
Macho Man's elbow drop.
Yep.
And because of all the press it's gotten and continues to get to this very day, Jimmy Superfly snipped a splash off the top rope. That's my three.
That's a solid three. Do you have one that you feel is over or underrated?
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton, I think, that are. I don't want to single anyone out. But, I mean, listen, I understand where you're coming from, saying that a leg drop is really not a finishing move, especially in this day and age. You wouldn't even get a one count out of it. But back then, where the dynamic was so differently, for Hulk Hogan, that was the end-all, be-all, was that, you know, Hulk up, punch, 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 kick to the ropes, big boot, leg drop. That was
that whole thing is iconic. I agree. That whole hulking up, one,
sure,
two, three, off the ropes, big boot,
then,
leg drop, that's
okay.
Iconic.
Okay. So let's stay right there for a second. So that's iconic, and that's a whole moveset, right? That's about a minute moveset. What's the finisher of that moveset?
Hogan jumps up, sticks a leg out, back of his knee
lands on
the guy's
face. End of that whole...
Hogan gets the victory. Hogan wins. Hogan must pose.
No. Listen to me. Go back in your childhood when you were going crazy for Boris Zukov, and tell me when the heel was getting the heat on Hulk Hogan hawked up, no, punch,
yep,
throw him off to the ropes, big boot,
yep,
to the face.
Bam.
And what do you do after that?
Drop that.
No, bam. What do you do after the big boot?
Drop that giant leg.
You just told me how iconic that was.
Yeah, that whole sequence is iconic.
I don't want, listen, we're not talking about a fucking sequence. What was the finishing of that sequence?
It was the leg drop.
Listen, I'm too busy here in New Jersey. We got a big show tomorrow. You're getting me hot. You're texting me off the air saying that Hulk Hogan's finisher sucked because you want to get me heated. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not falling into your trap.
That's not
tomorrow,
true.
New Jersey, if you're in the New Jersey area, come to Totowa, New Jersey at the Totowa PAL, 7:30 p.m. Doors open 6:30. The 30-man golden ticket rumble. I am done talking for today. We'll catch you there next week right here on 80s Wrestling, the podcast.
Hulkamania is still the strongest force in the universe.